Lifetime Pictures presents. Now, a gray Ford Mustang convertible heads down a road in Charlottesville, Virginia. A clean-shaven man drives and a blonde sporting dark sunglasses and a scarf around her head rides shotgun, starring Rachel Carbonell, James Maslow, Jason Lewis. The convertible speeds past fertile fields.
People have an image of what a good mother is. Good, like the ones we saw on our favorite TV shows.
The car enters Foxworth Hall.
Most little girls learn how to be mothers from our mothers.
It comes to a halt.
How to cook our favorite meals. How to kiss boo-boos. And we embrace all the wonderful things they did.
The couple climb out.
And vow to do differently all of their mistakes.
It's rebuilt it to just like it was before it burned down.
Kathy the blonde gazes at the mansion in front of them. She removes her sunglasses.
It still terrifies me.
This house has no power over us, Kathy. We're not mother's Dresden dolls locked in the attic anymore. Come on.
He takes her hand and they head for the house. Flash, a large family walks toward Foxworth Hall at night. Next, a butler opens the doors for the couple. Flash, Kathy and her siblings stand in front of the grand staircase. Now, the couple enter the mansion as Kathy takes off her scarf. She stares at the staircase.
Eventually, little girls grow up and have real, beautiful babies of our own. And we fill them with all of our hopes and dreams and sadness and fears and nightmares.
Next, a pink flower blooms on a purple background and pollen grains fly from it. Title, Seeds of Yesterday. Meanwhile, in a room upstairs, an unseen man steps out of a bathroom with just a towel wrapped around his waist. He opens a closet and flings the towel away. He puts on a white shirt, black pants and black leather shoes.
The doctor and Mrs. Sheffield have arrived, sir.
I'll be right down.
He adjusts his tie.
There's no blood like family's blood. At the end of days, they are the ones that matter the most. Isn't that right, Malcolm?
He closes a journal and slips it into the inside pocket of his suit jacket. Next, he runs two of his fingers along the wooden sill running across the wall. He rubs his fingers together and walks past a maid who bows to him. He descends the stairs and his face comes into view, revealing him to be Bart, a dark-haired man.
Bart! Oh my goodness, you look so handsome.
You look beautiful as always, Mom. And you wore red! You always know how to please me.
Oh, sweetie. Here, say hello to Chris.
Looking good, old man.
He eludes a hug and they shake hands.
Thank you, Bart. Place looks wonderful. It's like stepping back in time.
Well, I can only hope that great-grandfather Malcolm would be pleased. I was meticulous about the restoration, spared absolutely no expense.
So I'm well aware.
Nothing like having a family member privy to your finances.
Now, Bart, Chris has been very good at being the executor of your estate.
Oh, it's not my estate yet. At least not until we hear the end of Grandmother's will.
Well, it won't be long now.
No, it won't. Let me give you guys the grand tour. This way.
Now, a portrait of Malcolm.
Oh my God. Malcolm.
I've, of course, incorporated the latest technologies. Got a home gym, big screen TVs, DVD players, and got dial-up internet.
A butler opens the doors of an adjoining room.
Wow. This is impressive. I think it's going to make a wonderful home for a nice girl one day.
Well, I've yet to meet a girl who can hold a candle to you, Mom. Come on, let me show you the rest.
Kathy and Chris share a smile and follow him. Chris stops in front of an open door.
What's all this, Bart?
Bart heads over and glances at an image of Christ with the crown of thorns before closing the door.
That's where I pray.
I didn't realize you were still so religious.
Well, you may think it was all those years of psychiatric care that got me to where I am today, but it was by the grace of God that I was able to lift myself from my sorry state. Malcolm was a devout man, and he went on to build an empire. I'm going to accomplish even greater things, God willing. I've actually had my last name legally changed to Foxworth just to keep his legacy alive.
Bart, how could you do that without telling us? You know Malcolm wasn't a good man.
Bart halts and looks at her.
I know all of our family's dirty little secrets, Mom. Yes. Malcolm was a sadistic tyrant, but Dennis admires achievements. And, well, Chris here may have raised me. He is your brother, so that would be all kinds of...
Bart, I think we're entitled to a little bit more respect than that.
You guys probably want to freshen up. Let me show you to your room.
Later, outside a closed room.
I thought you'd be most comfortable in Corinne's wing. It's one of the most lavish suites in the house.
He steps forward and opens the double doors. He enters the roomy suite.
And of course, Corinne's swan bed. Isn't that something?
I hired a world-renowned artisan to hand-carve a meticulous replica. I just knew you'd appreciate it, Mom. And once I get control of the Foxworth fortune, I can finally fulfill my destiny. No offense, but a doctor does not a financial genius make.
I'll let you two get settled in. Joy and Melody will be arriving shortly.
He leaves.
Be nice when we don't have this financial situation between us anymore.
He's young, he wants his independence, you know what he's like. But this obsession with Malcolm, it's troubling.
Don't dwell on it.
He inches closer and they kiss as he backs her toward the bed.
Let's just enjoy ourselves while we're here.
He unbuttons her shirt.
In Mother's bed, the old lady would turn over in her grave.
Good.
Sounds like a good idea, Ben.
They grin and she slips her arms out of the shirt. She lies on the bed with him atop her and they make out. Her shirt lands on the head of the Corinne swan and covers its thigh. Later, in the living room.
Jory, you made it. Well, if it isn't the creme de la creme of the New York Ballet.
The brothers embrace.
Good to see you.
You're looking quite fit.
Yeah. Hey, Mel.
Hi.
They air kiss.
Oh, and thank you guys again so much for agreeing to dance at my celebration. It is absolutely going to make the night, having a special performance by my famous brother and sister-in-law.
Actually, Bart, I'm sorry, but we can't perform at your party.
But you know how important this night is to me.
Mel's been having some complications, and her doctor just told us she can't.
What do you mean by complications?
Well, we wanted to wait until everyone was here, but I'm pregnant. Twins.
Twins? Oh my goodness.
Congratulations.
Bart lowers his eyes grimly.
How far along are you?
Almost 19 weeks.
I'm gonna be a grandma.
Congratulations, darling.
But you're not even showing.
Mel looks at him blankly.
We had such a difficult time getting pregnant. We can't risk it. I'm sorry.
I understand. I'm happy to dance solo. Hey, that would be great. You know, pregnancy really becomes you, Mel.
Thank you.
At dusk, lights shine in the mansion surrounded by woods. Jory and Mel slow dance in the living room.
9 years of marriage and they're still going at it like dogs in heat.
Well, that's what happens when your partner's in life and in dance. Jory's father was volatile, but he was also quite passionate.
Go take to yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry.
Well, I don't know what the Bible says, Bart, but I do know that sex between two people who love each other is a good and natural thing. Don't you ever want to be in love?
I don't know. It's hard not to feel bitter about it when you consider my origin. You seduced my grandmother's husband to get back at her, and I was the result. Not the most auspicious way to come into the world.
She hangs her head.
No, it wasn't. And I'll be forever sorry about that. But not about having you. And I know there is a woman out there just waiting to spend her life with you.
Daytime, a car drives past an event works truck parked in the driveway. Feet clad in suede wine red boots climb out of the car. The view rises to reveal the slender form of a young woman clad in a short, multicolored dress with diamond patterns. Three men from Event Works check her out as she walks by. She flips her long blonde hair. A view of her face reveals her to be Cindy.
Okay, this place is beyond.
How are you?
You made me think that this place was just as sad and creepy as it was when you were a girl. That is so not true.
Well, Bart's done a lot to warm it up.
Hi, there's Daddy. My girl.
Oh, hi.
Her short dress distracts Bart, who plays tennis with Joy.
Look who's here. Whoa. When did Bart get so effing hot?
He used to be such an ugly little cretin.
Sweetie, please don't start with your brother.
Hi. I come in peace. And he's the one who always provokes me, remember?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love your dress. Where did you get it?
Thank you. I got it from Milan.
Tell me, how is Milan?
Welcome. It's my humble abode.
Oh, Bart, it is so good to see you.
She hugs him.
Oh. Nice job distracting me in that trashy little dress.
Excuse me, this is from Milan.
You can doll yourself up all you want. It doesn't give you class.
Bart, apologize to your sister.
Well, she's not really my sister.
Dad.
Bart, we're all here to celebrate with you. Let's not start the weekend.
I don't think you're in any position to make demands, Chris. This is my house. And at my house, I make the rules.
And I am your...
What? You're my what?
I'm the man who raised you.
And I'm the man who can destroy you with one word. Can you imagine if people found out your little secret?
What is he talking about? Nothing, sweet.
You know, Bart, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. I've saved your life on more than one occasion. Someday you might want to thank me for it.
Well, thank you. Uncle Chris.
He strides away and Chris looks on. Jory and Mel approach Cindy.
Hi!
Hi! And Melody has some exciting news.
Hi! What is it?
This bunhead has two buns in the oven.
Oh my gosh, are you... I can't believe it, twins? If they're girls, I'm going to buy them the cutest little kitty couture ever.
I just want to apologize for my outburst. All the preparations for this party have me a little bit on edge.
Well, Bart, that is... It's quite all right.
So, tell us about this birthday spectacular.
Well, it was going to be unlike anything you'd ever seen, but...
But we spoiled it. Bart, I really do wish I could dance Delilah for you.
I can dance Delilah. I mean, I might not be a professional like Mel, but I've been taking dance classes every day. Please, please, Jory, please. I promise Mel can teach me the dance moves, and I promise I'll make you proud.
Well, if Jory thinks you're up to it.
I'm not going to take it easy on you.
I won't disappoint you.
And if you embarrass me in front of my guests, it's your head on a platter.
Later, Cindy descends the grand staircase and halts.
Would you connect me to an adjuster? Yeah, I'm having a huge event at my house, and I was wondering if I should up my insurance policy. And that covers illness and injury? Great.
She glances over her shoulder as Bart walks away. She continues to the other wing of the house. Next, Bart stands in front of a portrait of Malcolm in his room. Downstairs, a butler picks up the helmet of an armor on display and walks away. A hand places a bottle of alcohol on a table laden with more bottles. Bart meets Jory and Mel on the staircase.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hello, children.
Wow, Mom, you look stunning.
Thank you, sweetie. And you've never looked more handsome.
Everyone turns to Cindy and Kathy's jaw drops. Cindy sports high heels and a cherry red dress with a slit all the way up the side. She gives her family a smile and advances. Bart's eyes stay fixed on her as she runs her hand along the railing and heads for their parents. He looks on grimly at her alluring attire. He gazes at her exposed skin.
Cindy, sweetie, could you please go and put on that blue dress that I laid out for you?
Mom, if you would read Vogue, you know that this dress is very au courant.
Please go change. Let's not have a scene tonight.
I think I'm old enough to choose what I want to wear. Besides, I'm wearing Bart's favorite color.
She steps up to Bart.
I know you don't always exercise the best judgment being adopted and all, but I can't have you dressed like that in front of my guests.
You always say I look like a slut. I thought I might as well dress like one.
Okay, that's enough. You've had your fun. Time to change.
He grabs her arm and she slaps him.
Don't ever touch me again.
She storms past him. Nighttime, on a deck overlooking the pool.
Yo, Cambridge in the house.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
Birthday boy.
Good to see you.
You don't look that much older.
That's all right. Hey, Jory, come here.
Kevin, this is the man, my brother, Jory Marquette.
And his wonderful wife and partner, Melody.
What privilege.
We've all been following your career since the early days in New York. We're big fans.
How kind of you to say.
Thank you.
Here. Oh, excellent.
On the house.
Cheers.
Cindy enters a room in a blue dress.
Well, now, that is a huge improvement.
If by improvement you mean hideous, then yeah. Are you going to make him apologize?
Sweetie, you do know you go out of your way to provoke him.
I don't know what it is. It's like something about him makes me want to get a rise out of him. Whatever. If anything, my hate for him will help fuel my dancing for tonight.
Exactly. Channel it into your performance.
Cindy walks away. Kathy looks on with a smile. Kathy heads over to the deck.
Well, you know, she's Corinne Foxworth-Starr. The one who came to that Christmas party with that big scene.
Kathy lowers her eyes and Bart approaches from behind.
So, do you come here often?
Hey, sweetie. You know, you have really outdone yourself. I am so proud of you.
Thanks.
She interlocks her arm with his.
You know, I remember the moment the nurse put you in my arms. You were crying so hard and your little hands were balled up into fists. The minute you looked up into my eyes, the smile crept across your face. And you haven't always been that generous with your smiles.
He drops his gaze.
I'm sure Jory was all smiles.
Well, you each had a different personality. But you wanted me with you night and day. I'd try to put you in your crib and you would just scream.
So I was demanding even then.
Hey, I loved you from the moment you were born. Just like your brother.
She spots Cindy dancing and distracts Bart as he starts to turn around.
Sweetie, would you mind getting me another glass of champagne?
Of course not.
Thank you.
She watches Cindy dancing lazily and averts her eyes. Next, at a table in a large room with a stage, Chris and Bart pull out chairs for Kathy and Mel.
I still can't believe we got to meet Jory Marquette. My mom's gonna die when I tell her.
Bart's expression hardens and he places his hand on Mel's shoulder.
Time to get this party started.
He leaves. Moments later, he steps onto the stage and faces the guests.
Thank you all so much for coming to celebrate my 25th birthday. But for the next few moments, it's not about me. It is my pleasure to present Samson and Delilah, danced by my brother, Jory Marquette, and making her debut performance, our adopted sister, Cindy. Enjoy.
Kathy touches Chris's arm and they share a smile as they applaud. Mel wears an unsmiling expression. A spotlight shines on the stage. The other lights come on. Cindy runs her hand across Jory's bare chest and back as she walks around him. Bart places his hand on Mel's shoulder as she sits with downcast eyes. She lifts her gaze to the stage as he sits beside her. Cindy and Jory lock eyes in the performance.
She's doing so well.
Well, certainly.
Jory holds Cindy's hand as she twirls. He picks her up and she locks her legs around his waist as they spin. A grim Mel watches. Jory holds Cindy by the waist and gracefully lifts her in the air. Bart wraps his arm around Mel's shoulder and leans in.
You would have made a much better Delilah.
His arm stays around her. On stage, Cindy stands with her back against Jory and he runs his hands up her thighs and stomach. She rushes away and he falls down. Two guards grab him and drag him to two pillars. They chain his arms to the pillars. He tugs at the chains and the pillars collapse. He falls down as a large pillar lands on him. Jory stays motionless.
He's not getting up.
Kathy and Mel follow him to the stage as Bart remains seated.
Get it off of him! Jory! Someone turn off the light!
Son!
Chris rushes over to Jory.
It wasn't supposed to fall down. The beam wasn't supposed to come down. No! It's crushing him!
Call 911!
I'm going to help him do something!
Jory, please don't die. Don't die.
Jory lies face down with a pillar on his back. Later, in an emergency room.
I told him it was a mistake going to that house.
the worst mistake of our lives, and now he's paying. He's gonna die young like his dad, I know.
You're just exhausted. Okay, you need some rest.
I'll put her in a cab.
I can take her back.
Kathy steps up to Mel's side. Bart holds Mel's arms from behind. Jory lies with his eyes closed. Next, the doors of an elevator open and Bart returns to the ER. He walks up to Cindy, who rests her head on the wall and sleeps while sitting in a chair. He lifts his gaze to a window and sees two doctors in conversation with Kathy and Chris. They leave. Kathy covers her mouth with her hand as she breaks down. Chris holds her close. Bart lowers his eyes to Cindy. Now, Jory comes to as Chris and Kathy sit at his bedside.
Mom? Feel okay, I guess.
He lifts his head and looks at himself.
Dad, I can't move my legs. I can't feel my legs.
He turns to Chris.
I'll be honest with you, son.
A shocked Jory glances between Chris and Kathy.
I'm paralyzed, aren't I?
Your spinal cord was severed.
So, I'm never gonna dance again, am I?
I'm so sorry, Jory.
Jory rests his head on the pillow as he sobs. In Bart's room, he picks up a copy of the New York Banner and reads a headline on the front page. Jory Marouet, principal ballet dancer seriously injured. Meanwhile, in Mel's room, Kathy opens the curtains.
Okay, Melody, that's enough. Get up. You're visiting your husband today. Get up!
Let me go! You hurt the babies!
You know I haven't been able to leave this room since the incident.
Kathy steps away.
Do you really think you're the first wife to suffer a tragedy? I was expecting Jory when his father was killed in a car accident. You should be grateful he's still alive.
I can't see him like that.
Kathy returns to Mel's side.
Jory just needs to know that you still care about him. So you need to summon up some courage and go and be a wife to your husband.
How can we live if we can't dance together? Why did this have to happen to us? Why did this happen?
Sweetie, come here.
Why?
She holds Mel close. Meanwhile, in the garden.
You know, I find it odd that Jory's the one who's never going to walk again, but Melody's acting like her life is over.
Well, depression can be very debilitating. I just wish she could find the strength for Jory, though. He really needs her.
Dad, can I tell you something? I mean, I might not have anything to do with anything.
But what is it, sweetheart?
The night before the party, I heard Bart talking on the phone about upping his insurance in case there was an injury.
There's no need to get defensive, Bart. We're not blaming you.
Of course you are. Just like when we were kids, and Jory's dog Clover was killed, and you thought that I murdered her.
No, we never thought that.
I mean, I was the one who asked him to dance. Don't you think that I feel responsible enough already? That maybe an uninvited guest got into the party. A rival dancer, perhaps. You, of all people, know how cutthroat ballet can be.
Yeah? Maybe?
She looks at Chris and urges him to concur.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility.
Bart shifts on his feet. Moments later, his parents leave his room and make their way down the hallway. Kathy faces Chris.
Is this happening again? Like when he tried to drown Cindy when they were children? Please tell me this isn't happening again.
No. It was an accident.
Jory! My poor Jory! I couldn't do this!
He holds her close as Bart eavesdrops on them.
Oh, God, my poor boy.
Bart steps back into his room and shuts the door. Next, Mel lies on her bed.
Hey. You didn't come down for lunch again.
She sits up as he enters and sets a tray on the bed.
How you doing? I know this can't be easy for you with the babies on the way.
Your parents can't understand why I haven't been to see him yet. I have this fear of hospitals.
I loathe those germ-infested places, too.
He sits on the bed.
I keep expecting someone to walk in and tell me that Joy's taken his life.
No.
He rests his hand on hers.
Hey, don't say that. You know my brother. He's the golden boy. He always comes out the winner. Everybody's focused on Joy right now, but he'd count on me to take care of you.
He smiles and gives her hand a squeeze before leaving. Now, in Jory's room at the ER, a heart rate monitor displays normal numbers. Bart enters the room.
I'm told I only put a momentary damper on the night's festivities.
Well, you're always trying to upstage me, aren't you?
He moves an object out of his way and sits on the edge of the bed.
Hey, Melody. She sends her love.
This isn't exactly the fairy tale she signed up for, is it? The doctors say that I may never function sexually again. I can't dance. I can't make love to my wife. What the hell's left for me?
Hey, you've got a wife who loves you so much, it's too painful for her to see you like this. Now, I've never known a love like that.
He lowers his eyes.
I've never really known love at all. I'm not sure who has it worse, me or you.
Maybe if you stop treating women like sperm deposits, you'd actually realize you have a heart.
Hey, it's the women who want to be treated that way. All right, maybe it's something that I bring out in them. Look, Joey, what you and Melody have is rare.
You were such an evil kid growing up. Who would have thought you'd turn out to be a nice guy?
I'm not that nice. What I'm really trying to do here is, figure out a way to get you out of this antiseptic cesspool so that the whole family can be together for the reading of Corinne's will. I mean, you're holding up my inheritance, invalid.
He hands Jory a hip flask. Jory uncaps the hip flask and takes a swig. He returns it to Bart, who drinks from it. Later, at the mansion, a bikini-clad Cindy holds onto the handrails as she climbs out of the pool. Bart watches through an upstairs window overlooking the pool. Next, she lounges on a floaty and notices him. She waves at him. He quickly draws the curtain. Nighttime, Mel lies on her bed. She sits up as Bart walks in with a tray of food in his hand. He sets it down and picks up a glass of wine from it.
You're so good to me.
He sits beside her with a smile.
Here.
I really shouldn't be mixing wine with my antidepressants.
It won't do you any harm.
It's the babies I'm worried about. I suppose a small sip won't hurt.
She takes a sip from the glass. She lowers the glass and drops her gaze as he stares at her. He takes the glass and sets it aside. They lean in and kiss. She moves closer to him. He picks her up and drops her onto the bed.
Careful, the babies!
He lies on his back and she straddles him.
That's better.
They kiss. Daytime. A few months later, Jory returns home in a wheelchair.
Dad. What is this?
I'm not going to be able to pick up my kids. I won't be able to teach them how to ride a bike. What kind of father am I going to be?
There are far more important things than that to being a father.
He touches the back of Jory's head and a nurse wheels Jory into the house.
Ah, the prince has returned.
Mel walks up to Jory and crouches in front of him.
Baby. I'm sorry I didn't come to see you. I was scared. Please forgive me.
You're my wife. I think I know what a fragile creature you are.
She smiles sadly and kisses him.
So,
Can I show you my welcome home present?
An elevator.
I had it installed so you wouldn't be stuck on the first floor.
I don't know what to say.
Well, then don't say anything at all. Come on. Let's get you up to your room.
The nurse wheels Jory forward at dusk in Jory's room. He sits in the harness of an electric wheelchair winch.
Right. Almost there.
Jory gets lower to the wheelchair.
Put your arms around me.
He stands Jory up and a nurse removes the harness. Chris sits Jory down.
Pretty soon you'll be strong enough to get out of bed yourself.
Where's Mel?
She was feeling a bit queasy this morning, so she decided to take a nap in one of the guest rooms. Morning sickness.
Can't believe she's not here to see this.
Bart steps onto the back of the wheelchair and they ride away.
Hey, what are you
careful.
Doing?
His spine is still fragile.
You've been set free, brother?
You're safe.
It's Mr. Foxworth's wild ride.
They enter a balcony and the wheelchair stops. Bart climbs down. Jory looks up at Bart and they share a smile. They gaze at the wooded grounds and a few plants on the balcony sway in a gentle breeze. Now, in the living room.
To be read after my grandson, Bartholomew Winslow Scott Sheffield's 25th year. The entirety of the Corinne Foxworth Winslow Trust will be turned over to my grandson, Bartholomew Winslow Scott Sheffield, when he reaches the age of 35.
What?
Until that time, he'll receive an annual sum of $500,000, and my firstborn son, Christopher Garland Dollinganger Sheffield, will continue in his position as trustee.
What the hell is going on here? This isn't right.
There's more. Should Bartholomew, at any time, be institutionalized, full control of the estate will revert back to Christopher.
What? This is absurd!
He snatches the will and goes through it, then glares at Chris.
I am not answering to you. For another 10 years!
Now, Bart, $500,000 a year is still quite a lot of money.
Of course you're happy about it! You're still in control! You of all people, the one who has sinned the most.
Okay, Bart, just calm down.
You planned this from the beginning, didn't you? Just been laughing behind my back the whole time!
I assure you, I had no idea.
Why is it so hard for everyone to understand that I just want you out of my life?!
He grabs a vase from the mantle and hurls it on the wall before leaving. Next, Mel stands at the doorway in Jory's room.
Do you think he'll be okay?
Barn will be fine. He always bounces back, but he was right. Practicing only makes you more beautiful.
Do you think a beached whale is beautiful?
Well, I do. I got this maddening itch on my right calf.
She steps up to the bed.
I thought you didn't have feeling down there.
I don't, but I get these phantom pains. I wonder if there's such thing as phantom pleasures, too.
Do you need me to scratch it or...
Come lie next to me.
Sorry, I'm so big.
I want to feel you against me.
Her eyes wander as she hesitates. She leans over and accidentally rests her palm on his thigh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I
feel so...
Honey, it's okay.
She slowly sits on the edge of the bed.
I'm just gonna sleep in one of the guest rooms. Maybe after these babies are delivered and they're feeling better.
I want to be back in New York by then. Nothing will make me happier than to see you dance again.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I mean, your family's been so wonderful. But I feel trapped here.
At least we're trapped together.
She forces a brief smile. She heads out and turns toward him at the doorway.
Love you.
She walks away as he looks on. On a bright sunny day, Kathy holds a bunch of flowers in her hand and strolls across the garden. She halts as she spots Bart leading Mel behind a large tree. She leaves. Nighttime, in Jory's room, Jory wheels himself to a table and picks up a framed photo from it. He gazes at himself and Mel during happier times. Kathy steps into the room.
Jory, honey?
He stares into the distance.
I used to be something important. I used to dance Don Quixote. Now I can't dance. I can't make love to my wife. I'm nothing.
Oh, that is not true.
She crouches beside him.
You are everything to me. To your father. To your wife.
You can't stand the sight of me. Not that I blame her. Who would want to be with a crippled unit?
Later, Kathy makes her way up the stairs and Amid walks past her.
Oh, hey, have either of you seen Melody?
No, ma'am.
Kathy continues upstairs. She strides down the hallway and stops in front of Bart's closed door. She leans in and listens. Kathy opens the door and sees a naked Mel straddling Bart.
Oh my god.
She covers her mouth.
Oh, there. How kind of you to knock.
In the hallway.
How could you do this? Jory has stood by you through everything.
All the women I've known have been liars and sinners. Until Melody. She's the first person to make me realize how beautiful love can be. I mean, isn't that what you wanted for me?
But why did you have to choose your brother's wife?
I guess it was God's will.
It was not God's will. You chose to betray your brother.
Don't you preach to me about betrayal.
His grip tightens on the journal.
Is that Malcolm's journal? Why do you still have that?
It's my most treasured possession. Did you know that he had an infatuation with his mother? That is, until she ran off with her lover and left him with a father he despised. Mom, I'm afraid some of Malcolm's maternal hatred may have rubbed off on me, because every time I see you and him go into your room, I am disgusted. So don't try and make me feel bad about what I'm doing when what you do is far, far worse.
He walks away and she sobs. Later, a somber Jory sits in his wheelchair and gazes into the distance.
Have you seen Mel?
She said she wanted to stay in bed. How about I arrange a romantic dinner just for the two of you tonight? How does that sound?
The next night, Kathy looks through a window and sees Jory sitting by himself at a table in the garden. Only you who I could love. She heads upstairs. She watches through a window as Bart opens a car door for Mel. They get into the back of the red 1968 Ford Mustang Coupe. The car leaves. A troubled Kathy turns away. In the garden, a glum Jory presses button on the armrest of his wheelchair and it turns toward the pool. He heads straight for the pool. He sinks to the bottom. Next, Chris jumps into the pool and swims up to Jory. He unbuckles Jory's safety belt and drags him to the surface.
I got you. You okay?
He swims to the edge of the pool and Jory's face crumples.
Oh, God. Oh. I didn't want to die. Why won't you let me die?
Chris wraps his arm around Jory. Later, Bart and Mel halt before the staircase.
So, dinner again tomorrow night?
Okay.
He kisses her. He slowly lets go of her hand and walks away. She looks on and heads upstairs. Kathy waits in the hallway with her arms crossed. Mel startles as she spots Kathy.
Look what the cat dragged in.
Kathy, you scared me. What are you doing here? Story all right?
You ask that like you care.
Of course I care. I love Jory. I'll always love him, you know that.
But you still stood him up. And here you are. Lipstick smeared alcohol on your breath and the smell of my other son all over you.
Mel stares at her.
You know, you're not going to make me feel guilty. I'm a dancer. You know how we live.
Living for the high of the audience applause and just
holding our breath until we can get it again. And now, we'll never get it again.
So you get your high now by doing something you know is so wrong.
Mel steps forward nonchalantly.
You have a lot of nerve judging me when you've done much worse.
Kathy pins her against the wall.
Jory tried to kill himself tonight. My son tried to kill himself tonight. I used to think you were one of those rarities. A woman who was beautiful inside and out. But you are ugly. You're done. Trying to escape your responsibilities. Do you hear me? You are done with Barb. You are going to grow the hell up and start taking care of these babies. You are going to start living up to your wedding vows, or I will destroy your pathetic little life.
She walks away from a shaken Mel.
I had no idea you could be such a bitch.
Well, clearly you don't know me that well.
Mel places her hand on her mouth. Next, Jory awakens in bed as she enters his room. He watches as she steps up to the bed and sits on the edge.
I'm sorry. I disappeared. I didn't mean to neglect you. I was just caught up in my own crap that I completely forgot about you and how much you must have needed me. And I was so selfish. I lost all sight of what was important.
She takes his hand and moves it toward her pregnant belly. She holds his hand in place and gazes at him.
And that's all that matters, right?
He nods and she grins with tear-filled eyes. She rests her hand on his chest. Daytime, a butler hangs a Christmas ornament from the ceiling downstairs.
That looks great. It's just a little uneven. Maybe if you go grab another one. Thank you. Oh, and that side of the tree's a little bare, so...
She looks through a window wall and sees Jory kissing Mel's stomach. She smiles and turns to find Bart watching them through a window. He gives her a grim look as he walks past her. Later. Bart opens the door and smiles.
You couldn't stay away, could you?
Mel slips into his room and shuts the door. She heads past him and turns around to face him.
I love my husband, but I need you.
Define need. Show me. Need.
She steps forward and kisses him passionately. She gets down on her knees and unfastens the belt of his robe. He grabs her by the chin and lifts her up.
I'm not going to screw you while you betray me and hold hands with Jory like some cooing lovebird.
He shoves her away.
I want you, Bart. It's been so long since I've had a man inside me.
You really are a whore, aren't you? The Lord snapped your husband's spine as punishment for your sins, and you still have not learned. What's it going to take? Those creatures inside that fat gut of yours coming out, deformed and demented and depraved like you? Well, then we might as well just kill them now before they're released onto this earth.
She gapes at him and her eyes well up.
Jory may be crippled and impotent, but he's still 10 times the man you'll ever be.
She storms out.
Les, you're here!
Lance, a young man in a brown suit grins. She leaps onto him and kisses him, later at dinner.
Bart, Lance's dad is the president of Chartoff Banks of Virginia.
Oh, I've done quite a bit of business with Chartoff.
This is truly remarkable property you have here, Mr. Foxworth.
You can call him Bart.
Someday I hope to get my own fortune and get myself a little slice of heaven like yours.
Or you can just inherit it the way that Bart did.
That networking system in your office is truly a sight to be seen. You know, technology is the wave of the future. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Foxworth?
I told you to call him Bart.
Cindy, I'm trying to be respectful.
While Cindy here can be a little rough around the edges, can't always beat out nature with nurture.
And Bart is just charm personified.
This lamb is very tender, isn't it?
Delicious.
All right, well, if you don't mind, I think I will show Lance the rest of the manor. I promised him I'd show him it. My parents' quarters are to die for, but I'm sure Bart's rooms are the most gorgeous. I've just never been invited to the master's chambers.
Dinner was wonderful. Thanks again for your hospitality, Mr. Foxworth. Mr. and Mrs. Sheffield?
You're welcome, Lance. How long has she known him?
Oh, about a week.
Next, Bart walks up to the staircase. Moments later, he makes a fist as he walks in on Cindy and Lance having sex.
What are you doing?
Bart pulls Lance off her and beats him up.
Stop! Stop! You're gonna kill him! Stop! 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 You're gonna kill him!
Lance grabs his pants and flees.
God, I hate you so much!
In their parents' room.
He's a maniac and he needs to be put away.
Okay, honey, I know what Bart did was despicable, but you shouldn't have slept with that boy in his house. You know how volatile your brother is.
Bart nearly kills my boyfriend, and yet you're still blaming me.
That is not what I am saying. Sweetie, can you please help me explain this?
I don't know, sweetheart. I'm kind of on Cindy's side here.
Finally!
I think Bart needs some serious help.
He's just still upset about the inheritance. The trick that Corinne played on him. You know how long it takes him to get over things.
But she said he really hurt that boy.
And now Lance won't even talk to me anymore.
I know, but I'm saying this is still Bart's house. And you know how conservative he is. And sweetie, you only just met this boy and you're having sex with him.
Cindy holds back tears as she climbs onto the bed and sits down.
I can't help myself, Mom. It's like I have this appetite and I can't just not be with a boy and not give him what he wants.
Sweetie, sex has a way of biting you back. You're still so young. You just don't know
yet. I do know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if Bart didn't give me such a head trip about myself, then I wouldn't feel like I have to give myself away to every guy that I meet.
Oh, sweetheart.
He wraps his arms around Cindy and holds her close.
There are other, better ways of validating yourself.
And, sweetie, I never told you this. But I used my body for the wrong reasons when I was younger. I still regret it. I just don't want you to make the same mistake.
You guys have so many secrets. I still feel like there's so much about you I don't know.
There's some things you just don't need to know.
He plants a kiss on her head. Meanwhile, in Bart's prayer room.
There are so many whores under this roof that I can barely breathe through the stench of their sin. Please, give me the strength to resist them.
He opens a Bible and takes the dagger from it. He looks at the dying image of Christ as tens of candles glow around the room. He stands bare-chested and sticks the tip of the dagger into his arm. Drops of blood land on his discarded white shirt. He shuts his eyes. On another night, in the kitchen, Cindy pours herself a drink.
I know that trick.
What do you want?
I owe you an apology for beating up your boy, Toy.
You broke his nose in 3 different places.
The beating wasn't fun for me either. Right, it was absolute murder on the bank account and relationships with his father. And all bantering aside, I do feel bad. I never actually mean to hurt you.
You just do.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, all he wanted was to get into your pants.
See, there you go again.
I'm sorry, but you're my little sister, and I'm always going to want to be protected.
It's the first time you've ever called me your sister.
That trust fund maggot didn't deserve you.
Oh, well, now you just sound jealous.
Don't get it twisted like the rest of our family.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Never mind.
So, you have to get your drink on. Can I come with you? I've got a fake, and I can party just as hard as you can.
That's exactly what I'm scared of.
Well, maybe it's time that you stop being so scared. Maybe it's time that we start being honest with each other about how we really feel.
She pulls him close and they lock eyes. He caresses her hair before pulling it roughly.
What the hell?
You disgust me.
Screw you!
I'll pray for you.
Pray for yourself, dickhead!
She grabs her purse from the island and storms past Chris. Bart faces the counter.
What is going on with you, Bart?
Nothing, Chris. Just the usual. Cindy's being a bitch in heat and I'm being a dickhead.
Why do you do that? I'm trying to really talk to you and you just push me away. We're all here with you. We could be a family again. But you just push us away. Why? You know, I think you're scared. Scared that we're gonna see all those things you hate so much about yourself. We already know all those things about you, and we still love you.
Bart turns around and wears a sarcastic smile. He drops a metal object on the counter and holds a wad of banknotes.
Thanks for the psychoanalysis, Doc. What do I owe you? You don't know me.
He flings the money in Chris's face.
You don't know a thing about me.
I raised you. I know you. And whether you want to believe it or not, we're a lot more alike than you think.
No, I'm not like you, do you hear me? I am nothing like you.
His shoulder bumps into Chris's as he walks away. Later that night, Bart enters a brothel. He makes his way past a few working girls in a dimly lit room. He approaches a young blonde with long hair. She turns and he pictures it to be Cindy smiling at him. He glances away and her real face appears. He steps forward and leads her away by the hand.
Sex for pleasure is sin, leading to nothing but pain. Lust leads to damnation.
He thrusts into the working girl from behind. Daytime, on a balcony, a maid converses with Mel and leaves. Jory wheels himself to a couch Mel lies in and places his hand on her shoulder.
How you doing, love?
It's like I'm being consumed by this darkness. We only came here to tell them we were pregnant, so if we didn't have them, we'd still be dancing. This house wants to use us to keep it living on forever.
We don't have to stay here. We can leave at any time.
I've been having nightmares that the babies won't be normal because I hate them.
Don't say that. It's not true.
It is. I was born to dance Balanchine, Tudor, and DeMille, not to be a mother. You wanted children. I didn't. I never wanted this. Get it out of me. 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 Get it out of me.
Next, Jory rests his hand on his head as he waits outside Mel's room.
You're gonna have to keep her sedated so she doesn't hurt herself for the babies. It's for the best.
Jory nods.
Come on, son, let's go downstairs.
He gives Jory's shoulder a squeeze and leaves. Now, on Christmas Day, the family sits around the living room.
Here's one for you, Cindy.
Cindy takes the present.
From Bart.
Bart raises his glass and she opens the present.
Oh my gosh, it's a Discman!
Well, I know how much you love your jams.
How can you be a complete pain in my ass and still know exactly what I want?
To say the people you hurt the most are also the ones you love the most. Cindy, will you grab the big one?
Yeah.
Here you go, sweetheart.
She passes the large present to Jory, who turns to Bart seated beside him.
The man who has everything.
Chris stands next to Kathy and she touches his hand. Bart unwraps the present and finds a painting.
I painted it myself.
Jory, that is beautiful. Oh, the house looks so creepy. I see why you guys wanted to run away.
I don't think it does the house justice.
He sips his drink.
A toast to our children. Jory, Melody, may your love stand the test and trials of time like ours has. And Bart, Cindy, may you both find an enduring love of your own. Mm. Cheers.
Cheers. That's really sweet.
Yeah, Dad. That was sweet.
He stands up.
And trite. And unlikely for any of us. I mean, Cindy here just gives it away. I'm an emotional cripple. Oh, speaking of cripples, Jory. Well, he's found himself lying, cheating, piece of trash wife who just can't seem to stay off her brother-in-law's junk.
What?
Oh, my God. Bart, you are a monster.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
He downs his drink. Mel stands with her hand on her belly and her water breaks.
Oh, my God.
Dad.
Her water broke. Chris.
Bart, help me get her upstairs.
Later.
Here, put on some gloves, Ray.
The ambulance is on its way.
It's moving me apart!
It's not gonna be time for an ambulance. So take the instruments and sterilize. Deep breath and push. I can see the baby's head. Keep pushing. Here it comes. Keep pushing. It's a boy. He's beautiful.
Chris wraps the infant in a white towel.
Here's your son.
Mel watches as Jory holds their son in his arms.
Okay.
The twin's on its way.
No, stop. Okay.
One more time for me. I need you to push. Here comes your baby.
Oh, it's a little girl.
Oh, boy. And a girl.
Yeah.
There we go. You are gonna have the life that Corey and Carrie should have had.
Jory gazes at his daughter. Next, Mel lies in her bed and looks at a cradle in which the twins lie. Jory enters and halts by the doorway.
You couldn't go without it. For 3 months?
She turns her head toward him.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. I was coming apart at the seams. It was there.
She watches as Jory lowers his gaze and her eyes well up.
Are you gonna leave me?
I don't know.
She averts her eyes and turns to face the cradle. Later, Kathy stands beside the cradle.
Hello, my precious little one. You are so beautiful.
How am I going to take care of two babies and Jory all by myself?
Don't underestimate him. Jory is going to be able to do everything any other able-bodied father can do. And Chris and I will help. We'll hire maids and nannies.
Good. Because I don't know if I'm going to be a very hands-on mother.
You're just scared. Your maternal instinct will kick in and you'll be fine.
Mel shuts her eyes and lies with her back to Kathy. Next, Jory wheels himself down the hallway and Bart waits for him.
Jory.
Jory ignores him and continues on. Later, in a gym, Jory sits in a chest press machine and uses all his strength to pull the hand straps. He fails and gives up as Bart watches, then heads out.
Jory.
He blocks Jory's way.
I'm gonna go check on the twins.
We need to talk. Leave us.
All this time, I thought we were becoming closer. And you've been sleeping with my wife. Then again, she was pregnant and I'm paralyzed. So how could you resist?
She was a wreck after the accident, okay? She came to me. That's hardly like Melody. She has morals. I was her first. They're so blind. She lusts and deceives like all women. If you think she can be trusted, then you're a fool.
It's you who can't be trusted.
You may have grown up, but you are still the same tortured, wounded, friendless little boy you always were. It's no wonder Grandmother left you everything. You're the only one in this family that's as screwed up as she was.
He leaves. Bart steps up to a mirror and stares at his reflection. Nighttime, Jory awakens in his room. He lifts his head and looks in the direction of the cries. He moves the covers aside and draws the wheelchair toward him. Next, he heads down the hallway.
Mel?
He makes his way into Mel's room.
Mel, you here?
He spots a letter on a table addressed to him and approaches it. Meanwhile, Cindy sneaks out of the mansion and walks along the pool. Bart watches her through the window in his room. Later, in a bar, Cindy sits on the counter and a man sits on a stool between her legs. Bart watches them from the mezzanine floor and sips a drink. He steps away. Now, Kathy walks into the kitchen with a glass in hand.
Jory? Honey, what is it?
He holds the twins close to his chest and hands her the note without turning around.
She's gone. She just left me and babies. What kind of mother abandons her own children?
She lowers her eyes. Next, Cindy and the man from the bar head down a street.
Sorry, I have to go. I have to go. Sweet dreams. Bye.
Later, she makes her way through the wooded grounds surrounding the mansion. She halts in her tracks. A man stands before her.
Bart! You scared the hell out of me! What are you doing?
I could ask you the same thing. You're too young to be going to bars, Cindy.
You following me, stalker? Did you like what you saw? Did it get you off?
He steps forward menacingly.
Stop trying to intimidate me because you don't. When will you admit that you are obsessed with me and that it infuriates you to see me with another—
Bart, what are you doing? Bart, put me down! Bart, stop it! Bart, let go of me! Put me down!
He lays her down on the leaf-littered ground and stares at her.
What? What are you gonna do?
He kisses her hungrily. She lowers his pants from his waist and he thrusts into her. Next, Bart enters his bedroom and finds a lingerie-clad Cindy lounging on the bed.
That is one creepy painting of great-grandfather Malcolm.
You're not permitted in my quarters.
Well, I just figured since after tonight.
Nothing happened tonight, and it will never happen again. Do you understand me?
You don't have to deny the feelings that we feel for each other. All my life you made me feel ashamed for being adopted, but now I am so happy I am. I mean, it's not like we're blood sibs like Mom and Dad. Yeah, I know. I was bound to figure out about their insanely disturbing secret eventually.
Their sin is running through our veins like wildfire.
She steps up to him.
I can't stop it, can I?
Oh, no. It's not sin. Not for us. Not really.
She kisses him and he pushes her to the floor.
Get on your knees, whore, and pray to save your soul.
She rushes out now, the next day.
Why do you have to go right now?
I just have to leave, that's all.
I understand that, but what about school? You were so excited to start in spring.
No, I'm not really the school type, and I was just doing it because that's what you guys wanted me to do. But everybody has done the whole dancer in New York thing, so this is my turn.
Okay, sweetie, shouldn't we at least talk about this first?
I can't. I'm gonna be late for my flight.
Cindy, we can change your flight, please.
Cindy looks at Bart, who leans against the door.
I can't stay another minute in the house of Malcolm.
We'll break a leg out there.
She stares at him and gets into the back of a waiting taxi. She gazes at her parents.
Let's go.
The taxi leaves. Chris turns and looks at Bart. Later, in the Corinne suite.
I think he's starting to lose control again.
He was doing so well before.
You know, honestly, I think it's us being here. Or me. I think he's starting to slip back and regress.
We can't leave him now. Not while he needs us.
We won't. I'll start looking for houses nearby. That way, he can have his space and we'll still be available for him.
Okay. Next, by the pool.
You two are the best babies I've ever taken care of.
Jory swims to the edge of the pool. A dark-haired nanny hands him a towel.
Here you go.
Thanks, Tony. I don't know how I ever managed without you.
Babies love you. I love you.
I've been, waiting for the right time to tell you this, but I'm a big fan. When I heard about your accident, I was devastated.
I'm at peace with it. Now I have no excuse not to start choreographing like I always talked about.
Bart watches them from the balcony and sips from a mug. Later, indoors.
Yeah, I'm well aware of the declines in stock prices, but what I need to talk to you about is to... Hey, hold the thought. I'll get back to you.
He spots Tony in the kitchen and heads over as he hangs up.
Hey. How's it going with the little Rugrats?
Great. Darren is all smiles, and Deirdre's taking everything in like a sleuth.
Yeah, that Deirdre has quite a penetrating gaze, doesn't she?
She meets his gaze.
But you have a way with kids, Mr. Foxworth.
Oh, just call me Bart.
Okay. Bart.
Kathy watches through the doorway and leaves. Now, in the garden, Tony and Bart sit on a bench with the twins beside them. In the tennis court, Bart stands behind Tony. He teaches her to hold a racket and swing it. Jory watches them and wheels himself away. In the living room, Bart and Tony sit in front of the crackling fireplace and chat. He leans in and they kiss. Next, three red cars stand parked outside the mansion. Bart polishes the hood of a Ferrari F355 Spider.
Treat your vehicles like they were your children.
These bad boys are my babies, all right?
He stops and faces her.
You know, in the not-so-distant future, I could see myself having the flesh and blood variety.
Are you thinking about marrying Tony?
I know you and Chris were hoping that she and Jory might hit it off, but she fell for me, Mom. She chose me over Jory.
Honey, it's not a competition.
Isn't it? Well, he always seems to win. With Melody, I was just a substitute, but with Tony...
He smiles at her.
Come first.
He continues cleaning the Ferrari.
Well, as long as you're both doing it for the right reasons.
Why? Well, you think Shoni loves me because I'm gonna have more money than God?
Honey, I didn't say anything remotely like that.
Do you think I'm good looking?
I think all my children are beautiful.
That's not an answer, Mother.
Bart, I think you are a beautiful person. And I think you deserve love with or without your money.
He stares at the car, lost in thought.
And now I have it. With Tony.
He carries on with his chore.
Well, I'm happy for you both.
He ignores her and looks on after she leaves.
It is greed and lust that drives all women, and it is their guileful power of deception that subdues a man.
Flash, Cindy in the red dress.
It makes him believe in childish notions of love and devotion and commitment.
A startled Bart awakens and sits up after a dream with glimpses of Cindy, Kathy, Mel, and Tony. Daytime, in a walkway in the garden.
I don't understand why you're telling me this now. I feel like we're just starting something special and you're trying to drive me away.
I have been damaged goods all my life. My two-faced salva grandmother did time in a crazy house, and she knew that is exactly where I'd end up. I mean, she even put a stipulation in her will that if I got put away, I'd lose everything, like some kind of prophecy.
I don't care about your money, Bart. All I care about is you.
Don't lie to me, you bitch. I've seen how you look at my house, my things, enjoying this easy life you have just weaseled your way into.
You're gonna have to find some other rich fool to spread your legs for, because I can't stand the sight of you.
A shocked Tony leaves. Next, she marches past Kathy and enters the house.
Tony?
Kathy looks on with a basket of flowers in her hand. She then heads toward the railing in the walkway and watches Bart's car drive away. She turns in Tony's direction. Meanwhile, the gray Ford Mustang pulls up outside a large white house. Chris kills the engine and climbs out as a lean rental agent descends the front stoop.
Hi, Dr. Sheffield.
Hello.
They shake hands.
So, what do you think?
Looks good. The front is wide enough for us to put in a wheelchair access.
And the hallways inside are wide enough for your son, too.
Great. Let's take a look.
Good.
They ascend the front stoop. Next, Jory writes in his room. An envelope slides in through the gap between the door and the floor. In the Corinne suite, Kathy finds a similar envelope on the floor and picks it up. She opens a printed card in it and reads,
"Your presence is requested for the service at the Foxworth Hall Chapel this Sunday."
Welcome, and thank you all for joining me today. At this, our first service at the Foxworth Hall Chapel, I'd like to honor this momentous occasion by welcoming,
he steps down from the altar,
the newest members of our family, Darren and Deirdre Marquette.
He reaches for Deirdre.
What are you doing?
Bart smiles at him, then picks up the infant and caresses her head.
Little Deirdre.
Now, if you would, please join me in baptizing this child.
Bart, I don't think we should.
Why not? Don't you want to save her soul?
Kathy, Chris, Tony, and Jory watch anxiously as Bart holds the infant over a baptismal font. Bart removes the infant's cap and sets it aside.
Lord, our merciful Father, please fulfill your promise to us and receive this child into your kingdom as a member of your own family. Grant that they may receive the fullness of your grace.
Flash, Bart tries to drown Cindy.
Purifying her. Evil. Disgusting. Vile sins.
Bart! What are you doing?
Chris takes the infant away from Bart.
What the hell are you doing? She's just a baby. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
You don't know this? If I ever catch you even looking at my kids again, I'll kill you! Do you hear me?
He wheels himself away. Later in the Corinne suite, Kathy takes two pills from a pill bottle.
I'm sorry, Mom. I don't know what came over me.
It's okay, sweetie. You just haven't been taking your pills, have you, huh? There you go.
He pops the pills into his mouth and washes them down with a glass of water while lying in bed. She takes the glass from him and sets it on the nightstand.
Now you try to get some sleep, okay?
You're the only one that's ever cared about me.
That's not true. Everybody loves you. Your father would do anything for you.
He's not my father.
He falls asleep. Moments later, she meets Chris and Jory outside the suite.
I think we should let him rest and we can talk to him about it in the morning.
He needs help, Kathy.
Are you saying we should commit him? We can't do that to him again.
Mom, he nearly drowned Deirdre.
I know. I don't want him to think there's no one on his side.
Okay. But we're not spending another night in this house. I'll go finalize the rental home. And I want everybody packed by the time I get home.
I just don't feel right about sneaking off and leaving.
He's lost it, Mom. We need to think of the children.
She turns and looks at Bart. Next, she starts packing her clothes into a suitcase. She takes more clothes from a drawer. She steps up to the bed and picks up another piece of clothing as Bart stays asleep.
Hello?
We got the house. I'm headed back.
Okay. He's still out, but I don't know for how much longer.
Just make sure Jory and Tony are ready to go. I'll be home soon, okay?
Okay. I love you.
I love you too, sweetheart.
She hangs up and sets the phone down. She closes a suitcase and lifts it off the footboard bench. She starts to leave.
Leaving so soon, Mom?
Next, in the kitchen, Tony stuffs a towel into a bag containing plushie toys. She then opens the fridge and grabs two bottles of milk.
It's almost time. We should wake the twins.
Meanwhile, Chris slows down as he comes across a stranded motorist on the road.
Hi. You all right?
Hey, I took the turn too quick. I blew my tire out.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of accidents at this turn. Need some help?
Please.
I'm just gonna pull up. I'll be right back.
He drives past her brown Ford station wagon. Next, Jory and Tony enter his room. He sees a crooked family photo on the wall with everyone's faces scratched out except Bart's. He hurries over to the cradle and finds the twins unharmed. He glances around and his eyes widen. He wheels himself out of the room in a hurry. Foxworth Hall Chapel. A troubled Bart looks at Kathy.
You're forsaking me. Why?
No. I've tried to help you, but I can't do it anymore, Bart. I can't.
You're leaving me here. Alone.
You're alone because you push away everybody who loves
you.
No,
because you are choosing your brother over me, isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
He grabs her by the hair and holds the dagger to her throat.
Say it.
I'm choosing my brother over you.
Then choose. That's perfect. Kneel down.
She slowly sinks to her knees. He lets go of her hair and she lifts her gaze.
Take off your shirt.
He points the dagger at her throat.
Do it.
She does as told with trembling hands.
You brought this upon yourself, Mother.
She lowers the shirt off her shoulders and sits clad in a camisole. He grabs her by the hair again and forces her on her knees. He kneels in front of her.
You are the source of all that's evil in this family. Malcolm says that you need to suffer for your sins in order for all of us to be purified.
Malcolm's dead. He's been dead for 40 years.
No, he's crawling in every corner of this house, in every cell of my body.
Do you need help? Bart.
Of course, that's what you want. Have me committed so that you and Uncle Chris can take everything away from you. You and Corinne planned it from the beginning.
No! No, we didn't. I swear I had no idea what you were up to.
He plants a brief kiss on her forehead and stands up.
There's no blood like family's blood. At the end of days, they are the ones who can destroy us if we do not purify their tainted blood. Bart!
His wheelchair speeds toward Bart and knocks him down. The brothers lie on the altar and Jory chokes Bart. Then disarms him. Bart clutches at the hand around his throat.
Jory! Stop it! Get off me! Jory, please!
Jory lets go of Bart's throat. Jory uses his hands to move away from Bart and climb onto the wheelchair.
I don't know why you keep thinking he'll get better. He never will. He's hopeless.
He leaves.
Malcolm made me do it. The same Foxworth name, he made me do it, Mom.
Her lips quiver as tears roll down her cheeks. She hangs her head briefly. She stands up.
No. Mom. Mom. Mom.
He kneels and holds her hand.
Please don't go. All right. I'll change. I promise.
I'm sorry.
She frees her hand and walks away. He looks on.
Mom. Please don't leave me here. Please don't leave me here!
He breaks down. Next, Chris fixes the wheel of the station wagon.
All right, I think that'll do her.
Thank you. Again, I really don't know what I would have done if you hadn't stopped.
It's all right. We all need a little help sometimes.
A non-coming pickup truck loses control and swerves toward him. Nighttime, outdoors.
He should be here by now.
I am a terrible mother. I am just like Kerman.
Jory caresses her hand comfortingly as the car heads down the driveway.
He's here.
She, Kathy, and Jory look at the approaching headlights. Kathy watches as the patrol car comes to a halt. Now, a butler opens a car door as Bart steps out of the house. Cindy's face crumples as she hurries out of the car and wraps her arms around Bart's neck.
I can't believe he's gone.
She lowers her arms. He caresses her hair as she sobs and they look into each other's eyes.
We were meant for each other.
He kisses her. The kiss ends and he rests his forehead against hers. A smile appears on her face.
I've always known that.
They kiss again. Daytime, at Chris's funeral in the cemetery where Julie and Corinne, Paul, Henny, and Carrie were buried.
You were the man that I aspire to be. I love you, Dad.
He puts the folded eulogy into his suit jacket pocket. Bart rises from his seat as Jory wheels himself toward the mourners. Bart places his hand on Jory's shoulder as their paths cross. Bart stands beside the coffin and unfolds his eulogy. The other mourners hold umbrellas on the overcast day.
It says in the Bible, "For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap."
He lifts his gaze to Kathy and Cindy seated in the front row.
I had a difficult childhood.
He shakes his head and purses his lips.
No, I was a difficult child. And now I'm not a very nice person. Chris once asked me why I push people away, and I don't really know why. But he was always there for me, no matter how many times I pushed him away. Until I finally did push him away. I don't want to push people away anymore. I don't want to be alone.
I'm sorry, Chris.
He wipes away his tears. Later, Kathy crouches beside Chris's grave and places a bunch of flowers on it. Bart heads over and stands beside her. She looks at him. He holds out his hand, she takes it and stands up. They walk away, arm in arm. They head past Malcolm's grave.
And finally, the Dahlinganger family was free from the hold of this awful house.
Bye. Bye, Mom.
Kathy waves at her children driving away from the mansion in two cars.
And out of its imprisoning darkness, and into the light of a new beginning.
Jory, now married to Tony, addresses a group of ballet dancers.
The awareness of each other's space on stage is fantastic.
And my children were able to flourish.
Now we are going to chase the devil away, praise the Lord. And you all know my beautiful wife and partner in Jesus, Cindy. Come on up.
She kisses his cheek.
Praise the Lord.
There you go, honey. Now let us remember that a love just like this would not be possible if it were not for Jesus.
Next, a piece of cloth covers Malcolm's portrait in the living room.
My children wanted me to go with them, so we could all stay together. Family. But as much as I wanted to, I didn't. I needed to stay here. In Foxworth Hall.
More sheets of cloth cover the furniture. Cindy ascends the grand staircase and enters the attic.
Everything I am is tied to this house. My life. My love. And without Christopher, I am a shadow of my former self. A ghost.
She steps forward with a shawl wrapped around her.
The last of the four Dresden dolls.
She makes her way to a glass block window through which sunlight filters in.
People use the color yellow to symbolize hope. Yellow, like the sun we rarely saw. Life then was so hopeless. We never made even one of our paper flowers yellow.
She gazes at the empty room and yellow paper flowers appear in midair. She sits perched on a bench running along the wall and watches them.
But all colors fade with time. Much like memories do. They soften and fade. And yellow. Leaving room for hope.
She somberly stares out through the window and the view pans out of the lavish mansion. Closing credits begin. Co-executive producer, Kainley. Cast, Rachel Carpani as Kathy. James Maslow as Bart. Jason Lewis as Christopher. Anthony Konechny as Jory. Sammy Hanratty as Cindy. Leah Gibson as Melody. Nicole Boucheri as Tony. Andrew Hare as Lance. Aidan Khan as College Buddy. Nancy Ebert as Society Lady. Peter Gray as Hot Guy. Described video provided by BMI. Closing credits continue.